in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Father, we welcome and honor your mighty presence in our midst. We declare that our hearts and minds are open. We receive your engrafted word. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Transform us. Stretch forth your mighty hand. Let mighty miracles, healings, deliverances, impartations of the Spirit, revelation, understanding, wisdom be imparted. Let no life remain the same. Give everyone an encounter they will never recover from. Thank you, Father. Thank you for supernatural change of story. Thank you for turning around captivities by your word and by the power of your Spirit. Thank you for new levels, new dimensions. Thank you. We give you the glory. At the end of the day, may Jesus be revealed and glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. I say clap your hands, oh you people. I say clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Well, help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say welcome to June Miracle Healing and Impartation Service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, every MHIS is a divine encounter with God. Every MHIS is a divine encounter with the monarch of the universe. And throughout the Bible, till date, nobody ever encounters God and remains the same. Nobody ever encounters God and remains the same. Can you remember the story of that blind man in John chapter 9? After he encountered Jesus in verse 9, his neighbors could not recognize him again. He had been transformed beyond recognition by that one encounter. His entire life turned around. Oh my God. It doesn't take long, it takes God. I say it doesn't take long for your story to change. It doesn't take long for your situation to change. It doesn't take long for your status to change. It just takes one genuine encounter with God. That man was born blind. In fact, that man was born with empty socket in his, there is no eyeball in his socket. If you study that miracle, that was actually a creative miracle. It was more than a healing miracle. The man was born probably a congenital malformation, a congenital condition that left his eye socket without eyeballs. No wonder Jesus spat on the ground and made clay. What Jesus did, he made clay of the spittle. What Jesus actually did, remember, God made the body of man from the dust of the ground. So Jesus, having that understanding, he spat on the ground and then he molded an eyeball from the clay. And then when the Bible says he anointed his eyes, Jesus carried that clay made eyeballs, and then he now put it into those empty sockets, and he said, go and wash in the pool called Siloam. That's the meaning of that word, he anointed his eyes. And the man went and washed and came back seeing, and his neighbors could not recognize him again. Some said, this is he. Aya, give me verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Listen. In this encounter today, in God's presence, God will so transform your life beyond recognition. It's as if I'm talking to myself today. Probably I will do what one pastor did. You know, I went for a ministration in Zaria, and the other guest minister made me laugh. He said he once went for a ministration, and he said after preparing so much for the meeting, and God has so much to release. He said when he came, he was ministering, the people were not responding. He was ministering, the people were not responding. He just got angry. He said, okay, let's close our eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Let us pray. And when they started praying, he said he took the back door and left, carried his Bible. He said, the people are not ready. I'm telling you, real life story. He told me, oh. He told me the story. He said, the people were not ready. Are you seeing that? Jesus went to his own hometown. The people were not ready to receive now. Am I communicating? I cannot go for a meeting and not be ready to receive. I would rather sit at home. Are you getting me? Malakosketea. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said what? I am he. In other words, he needed to introduce himself to the people because his story had changed. He had been transformed following that one encounter. Not two, one. One encounter. That's why I say it doesn't take long for your story to change. It takes one genuine encounter with God. One genuine encounter for your entire, for your captivity to be turned around. And I prophesy, I don't know the captivity you came here with, whether it is sickness, whether it is lack, whether it is failure, whether it is frustration, whether it's the spirit of death hunting you, whatever captivity, family captivity, financial captivity, whether it is debt that is tormenting you, I prophesy in this encounter every captivity shall be turned around. My God is turning around every captivity. My God is changing your story. God is rising up for you in this encounter. And he's changing your story. Malekobo sepeletena. Let me tell you, never say, I shall be transformed beyond recognition. Tell another person again. Say, through this encounter with Jesus, I shall be transmogrified. It's an English word. Check it up. Transmogrified. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. I hope you have clarified your expectation. When you come before the king, your expectations must be clearly defined. You must clearly define what you want. Do you know exactly what you want God to do for you? For somebody, it may be a healing miracle. Maybe you are sick in your body. Maybe you are, your body is ravaged with pain. Maybe there is a growth somewhere. Maybe there is a diagnosis that is bothering you. Maybe there is a chronic health condition that you've been managing. You have to be clear what exactly Jesus Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, when he was shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me," Jesus, he shouted Jesus to a standstill. Jesus said, "Call him, send for him." They say, "He called you." He threw away his begging uniform and came to Jesus. He said, Jesus then asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus is here. You have to be clear. What exactly, what area of your life do you desire a miracle? Do you desire a touch of God? Am I coming? For somebody it may be healing. For another person it's in your finances. For another person it's in your business. For another person it's in your academics that you need a miracle. Am I coming? Because there are some of you students that you need academic miracle if you are to graduate and graduate well. You need a miracle. Am I communicating? For somebody else, it may be in your relationship. It may be in your marriage, your family life, that you need a miracle. A miracle is a divine intervention of God in earthly affairs. Am I communicating? For somebody else, it may be combination of more than one area. But no problem. God is not intimidated by the size of your problem. God is not intimidated by the size of the mountain. Is the mountain mover at his presence? Every mountain melts, they melt like wax. Every problem bows to the power of God. Shataka barakataya. Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "That I may receive my sight." He was very specific. He was specific. That is one of the proof that he was a person of faith. Faith is specific. Faith is not ambiguous. Faith is specific. He had a specific desire. Am I communicating? He said that I may receive my sight. Malakosketeya. For somebody else, it may be the depth of chronic indebtedness. Because I'm seeing somebody like that, that the Lord is delivering. Debt, 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 debt. You are owing people. The thing is bothering you. But listen, listen. On this mountain, that yoke of chronic indebtedness, it is broken. Are you listening? Be very specific. What exactly do you want Jesus to do for you? For somebody, it may be that you want him to open your understanding. The spirit of revelation. You read Bible, it looks like storybook. You read Bible, your eyes are not anointed with eye salves to assess revelation. All you see is English language. The whole thing is now boring. But as I speak right now, the Lord is granting you that spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding is being enlightened in the name of Jesus. So be very clear, be very definite, be very specific. Sometimes, sir, you may need to write out exactly the things. If writing will help you, do it. Am I communicating? Because Jesus is here to change your story. I can tell you that Jesus is here. His presence is here. Malatos ketila. You see, most of the time, it's not how much can God do, it's how much can you receive. The real issue is your receiving capacity. Am I communicating? How strong is your desire? How passionate? How hungry are you to receive? How do I ever explain these things? The things of God, they don't just jump on you like ripe cherries. There has to be a hunger. There has to be a desperation. You need to press into it. Am I communicating? You press into it in faith. You press into it with hunger. With passion. The kind of hunger, spiritual hunger that cannot be conquered. And I've taught you before, spiritual hunger is currency. Is currency for spiritual transaction. You transact in the spirit with spiritual hunger. You transact in the spirit with faith. Potent currencies. Everything. Everything is available for the taking in the realm of the spirit. Everything is available. Everything. There is nothing you desire right now that is not available for the taking. Provided that you know how to transact in the spirit, using the currencies of the spirit. Faith is a spiritual currency. Spiritual hunger is currency. Am I communicating? Malitos ketila bonda kapalatai. I say Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 2. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Apostle Paul is speaking. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. Hallelujah. John chapter 5 verse 21. John 5:21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now jump to verse 25. We'll read 25 and 26. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26. It says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have what? Life in himself. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:45. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Hallelujah. It says, and so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Next verse. Who is the last Adam? Jesus. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Next verse. It said, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. So we have the earthy guys, then we are the heavenly guys, okay? Glory to God. You see two types of race there, okay? Uh-huh. And the progenitors of each race. Next verse. It says, as is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Who are the earthy people? All those that are descendants of the first Adam that are not born again. They are of the earth. They are earthy. They are the earthy guys. Who are those that are heavenly? Those that are born again. Those that are descendants of the last Adam, the second Adam. That's Jesus. Jesus is the second and last Adam. Okay? And to be born again, geno anoten, means to be born from above. So we are the heavenly ones. Are you seeing this? We are of the heavenly race. So we emanate, our genealogy is traced to Jesus. Hallelujah. So you are no longer Jan Adam, the day you got born again. I say you are no longer Dan Adam. Or how do they say it? You are no longer son of the soil. I say you are no longer son of the soil. See, there are two races, so the first Adam and the second. Everybody on earth belongs to one of those two races. Either your genealogy is traced to the first Adam, all the fallen human race, they come from the first Adam. The day you got born again, your genealogy switch, it changed. You now belong to the second and last Adam. That's Jesus. Am I communicating? And we are the heavenly race. Next verse. It says, and as we have borne the image of what? We have borne the image of the earthy. That's before we got saved. We shall also bear Or the image of the heavenly, in fact, the better translation puts it this way: we ought to bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now jump to verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Glory to God. Manasseh, Minister Manasseh, you are looking sharp. You are in the spirit today. You go red. Hallelujah. With the programmer, you and your crew, you guys are looking, you are ready, ba? Glory to God. And I'm seeing the intimacy team looking sharp in their uniform. It is working. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, okay, let's start from 55. Let's take it from 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Ayah 57. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Can you shout amen? Amen. We are not victims, we are victors. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Victory over what? Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over hell, victory over the grave. Can you shout amen? Amen. Let me tell you, neighbor, we have the victory. Glory to God. Now go back to that Romans we read earlier. Malakoso veletena. Okay, before then, give me 2 Corinthians 3:6. Then we'll go back to Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also had made us able. Somebody say able. Start from verse 5. We'll read through to verse 6 so that you get it in context. It said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Can you see something here? Our sufficiency is, in other words, Christ is our sufficiency. God is the one that makes us competent to do this work of the ministry. God is the one that equips us, that empowers us. He is our sufficiency. Am I communicating? He gives us the ability. He gives us the capability. Our competence is coming from Him. So stop looking and relying on yourself. God is your sufficiency. This is the root of almost every failure. The root is self-sufficiency. When people are self-sufficient, that's they are depending on their bankrupt human ability, bankrupt human resources. The Bible declares that Christ is our sufficiency. Am I coming? In the kingdom, everything is assessed from that economy called Christ. Are you seeing something? We draw our every need is supplied from there. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I am not self-sufficient. Christ is my sufficiency. He is my helper. He supplies all my need. Everything I need, Christ supplies. He is my ability. He is my capability. He is my competence. My sufficiency is of God. So anytime you are feeling weak, remember this scripture. Anytime you are feeling inadequate, remember Christ has made you adequate. Are you getting my point? Christ is your sufficiency. Our sufficiency is of God. Then semicolon, next verse. He said, who also, the same God that has made us sufficient, he said, who also has made us able ministers. Somebody say able. He has made us able ministers. Once you are available and yielded to him, it doesn't matter your inability, humanly speaking, or your weaknesses and insufficiencies. Once you are available and yielded, God, by his grace, will make you able. Am I communicating? By his grace, he has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You see? So as able ministers of the New Testament, he says, we are not ministers of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter what? Killeth. But the Spirit giveth what? Giveth life. Am I communicating? The letter killeth. Listen. The word of God is more than this letter you are reading. Do you know, you can be reading the letters of the scripture, just like the letters of the law, and your life is not changing. Nothing is working in your life. The real word of God is not the letter. In John chapter 6 verse 63, Jesus said, the flesh profited nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. He says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is spirit. The word of God is life. The word of God is a spiritual life-giving force. And the life of the word comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of that life. Am I communicating? I'm trying to explain the meaning of God's word, because many people don't really know what God's word is. God's word is not just the English and the grammar you are reading here. I'm telling you, the word of God is a spiritual life-giving force. You cannot contact it and be bored. Impossible. Most of the time when people say they read Bible and it is boring, it's because what they were reading is a letter. It's not the Spirit. They were feeding on the letter. Am I communicating? He said, I confess, nothing. You were confessing letter. Where Rema come, Rema is, it carries life. Am I communicating? The real word of God is a spiritual life-giving force. And it changes situation. You can't contact it and remain the same. He says, the word says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means gives life. Give me the translation that says gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. The Holy Spirit is a quickening spirit. It's a life-giving spirit. It gives life to the dead. It calleth things that be not as though they were. Am I communicating? The Rhema of God is a quickening spirit. The Rhema of God carries quickening power, life-giving power. So no matter how dead your situation is, the Rhema of God will cause it to come back to life. Am I communicating? The life of God. The word of God carries the life of God. The word of God is powered by the Spirit of God. I said the word of God carries the life of God, and it is powered by the Spirit of God. I say it the third time. The word of God carries the life of God, the divine life, Zoe, and it is powered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of life is what makes the scripture to come alive. Malekoba. Have you been there that you were reading the Bible, the whole thing just came alive? You don't even want to stop reading. You don't want to stop studying. You are enjoying it. Why? Because at that point, you were what you were receiving is life. It's not English you were receiving, it's life powered by the Spirit of God. Am I communicating? Shamaleko sovrahadia. He said, what gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. Are you seeing something there? He says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. He says, the words I have spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit. Are you seeing something there? Because so many people don't know God's word. They think God's word is just the letter you are reading. No, it's more than that. Are you getting me? It's more than that. It says the letter killeth. Have you seen some people? They will carry Bible, carry the letter and put on their head, and yet demons will still oppress them in their dream. Am I communicating? Some people will tell you, I confess, I confess, I confess. Yet no change. Some have even died that way. It's not because the law of confession is wrong. It's not because there is a problem with the law of confession. No, it always works. The problem is, what were they confessing? Is it the rhema or the logos? Is it the letter or the life-giving spirit-quoted words? Because there is a huge difference. Am I communicating? If all you are doing is the letter that you are confessing, you've not contacted the spirit, there will be no change. It's a life-giving force. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Am I communicating? Konda balakida kaparakataya. And the real rhema of God carries quickening power. David the psalmist said in Psalm 119, he said, quicken me, O God, according to your word. Quicken me, O God, according to your word. That means the word of God carries quickening power. He was not speaking about the letter of the law. He's not speaking about the letters of scripture. He's talking about the spirit that giveth life, that animates the scripture, causes it to come alive, activates that spirit of life. Am I communicating? It's a life-giving force. Romans 8, verse 1. Ketoba la sida. Is somebody understanding something here? See, I'm trying to make you understand what the word of God is. If you understand what the true word of God is, you will now understand why it can never fail. It can never fail. It cannot, let the letter can fail, because the letter is not the real word of God. But the real word of God, that one that carries the life of God, powered by the spirit of life, that one can never fail. It always works. Let me tell you, neighbor, the word of God works. For those that know how to walk it, it always works. If it's not working for you, it is user problem. If it's not working for you, it is what? It is a user problem. There is nothing wrong with the word. So you have to find out how to use it correctly. You go before God with humility and search and find out where you are not getting it right and make the necessary adjustment and correction. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life. Okay, that's the title of my discourse. The law of the spirit of life. I've started the message already. I'm only giving you the title. The law of the spirit of life. Aha! The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen, life is law driven. The outcomes and results you get in life, they are all governed by exact laws. Exact laws. Exact laws. The good thing about life is that both success and failure are predictable. They are predictable by the understanding and correct, consistent application of laws or failure to do so. When you understand and correctly and consistently apply the right laws, whether natural or spiritual laws, there are certain exact outcome and result that must materialize for you in the earth realm. When you fail to apply the relevant laws that govern certain results and outcome, then failure is predictable. So you don't need to wait whether to know whether you will end up as a success or not, or whether as a failure or not, towards the end of your life. You don't need to wait. You can know by what? Your decision to find out the exact laws that govern certain kind of result. Am I communicating? Whether it is results in the spiritual or in the natural, there are certain exact laws that govern outcome. Am I communicating? Polagabasakabalataya. There are natural laws, then there are higher spiritual laws. The spiritual laws are superior to the natural laws because the spiritual controls the physical. The physical natural realm came from the realm of the spirit, therefore is subject to the realm of the spirit. So spiritual laws, they govern even natural laws. Am I communicating? And one of such spiritual law, you know, there are so many spiritual laws. I've taught you some of them. Have we? Faith is a spiritual law, true of us. Prayer is a spiritual law, true of us. Giving is a spiritual law, true of us. Am I communicating? Meditation is a spiritual law. Look at another spiritual law. The law of the spirit of life is a spiritual law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Are you seeing something? Paul did not say the law of sin and death has been abolished or is no longer operational. He didn't say, now hear what he said and hear what he did not say. He said the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. He didn't say the law of sin and death is no longer operational on earth. He didn't say it's no longer functioning. Am I communicating? When a plane flies in the air, or any object that flies, is it because the law of gravity is no longer functioning? The law of gravity is still functional, but what they did is that by understanding the laws of aerodynamics, the law of lift, the law of thrust, they were able to manipulate that plane in such a way. They manipulated gravity and drag. Am I communicating? To ensure that the effect of gravity is counteracted and nullified. Are you seeing something? The law of lift, they increase the power to counteract and nullify, overcome gravity. And then the law of thrust, they ensure that it is greater than the force that will drag the plane back. That's why the plane can fly and keep going forward. So it's a similar principle here. Though the law of sin and death is still functioning on earth, Paul is saying the only way to overcome it, the only way to counteract the effect of the law of sin and death is by operating a higher law, a higher spiritual law called what? The law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. You know the law of sin and death? You know the law of sin and death? It states that the soul that sinned shall what? Die. Ezekiel 18 verse 3. Okay, let's analyze the law of sin and death so you will now understand this one better. Ezekiel 18 verse 3. He said, as I live, this Old Testament, as I live, said the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion anymore. Okay, verse 4. He said, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. Now, this is the law of sin and death that was in operation after the fall of man. that law was activated after Adam committed high treason and violated God's command not to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the midst of the garden. God said, don't eat it. He said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Am I communicating? And when they ate of that tree, from that day henceforth, the law of sin and death started operating. Am I communicating? Okay. Genesis 2. Let's see there. Genesis 2 verse 16. And the Lord God commanded. It was a command. It was not a suggestion. It was a what? A divine command. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Next verse. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. This is the law of sin and death. This is the law of sin and death. He said, the day you eat, you shall surely die. And primarily, it was not physical death this scripture is talking about. It's talking of spiritual death. Spiritual death simply means the absence of the life and presence of God. That's spiritual death. The absence of the life and presence of God. Am I communicating? Spiritually speaking, death is not cessation of existence. That's not the meaning of death. It's not cessation of existence. It simply means you are separated from the life and the presence of God forever. It's a separation. Am I communicating? Now, spiritual death, so that means the day Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they were what? Separated from the life and the presence of God. So they became spiritually dead, and all of the human race that came through them were born in that condition of spiritual death. That's why it says, by one man's offense death reigned. Which kind of death? Spiritual death. And the spiritual death is the parent of physical death. Nobody could die physically in the Bible until man first died spiritually. It was after Adam died spiritually by committing high treason, that was when physical death could catch up with his body. How many years did Adam live? 930 years. It took 930 years for physical death to now catch up with his body. I'm just wondering, what happened when the first man died on earth? Because they've never seen such a thing before. Maybe they will think the person is in a long sleep. Because they've never... Now, you know death because by experience. You've heard of it, you've seen... Imagine if you were on earth. Nobody has ever died anywhere. The first person that died, how did they know that this is death? They just see the person... Say, wake up now, it's morning. Say, he has still not woken up. Okay, let's give him time. They'll continue their activities. Say, he's still sleeping. After 2 days, sir, he's beginning to smell. Oh, sir, what's this one now? He's smelling. Maggots are now coming out after 1 week. Sir, oh. Then it now happened to another person, the second person that died. Then I said, okay. That thing that happened to... Do you understand? Because they are not used to it. We don't know how many years Adam lived on earth before the fall. Time only started ticking after he committed high treason. We don't know how many years Adam lived on earth before the fall of man. It's not on record. Am I communicating? Oh, you think it was 900? You are joking. It's not... that time started ticking after the fall of man. Am I communicating? Before the fall, Adam had this life. He was operating with the intelligence of God. No wonder he could name all the animals. Have you ever wondered how come Adam was intelligent enough? He had that dimension of God's wisdom that he could name the animal. The Bible says God brought all the animals in the garden to Adam. Whatever name Adam called them, that was it. In other words, God did not need to edit the naming. You are not getting this. Adam did not fail anyone. He didn't make any mistake. The same name God would have called lion is the name Adam called lion. The same name he would have called hippopotamus. The same name. Am I communicating? He was operating with divine intelligence. He was operating with the wisdom of God. Why? Because he had the life of God before the fall. Superior intelligence. Adam named even the fishes in the sea, the whales, all those aquatic animals. Bible scholars tell us that it is believed that Adam could even fly. He was unlimited. Am I communicating? He was unlimited because he had the life of God. He could walk on water. If not, how was he able to name some of the water animals? He could walk on water. Am I communicating? Because of the kind of life, he had the life of God. Am I communicating? Shabalatia, until the fall. Then the law of sin and death set in. First, he died spiritually. And then spiritual death gave birth to physical death. And the law of the spirit of life is the only solution to the law of sin and death. If you want to walk in dominion, see, the law of sin and death is still functional on earth. But the only way to walk in dominion over that law of sin and death is by activating a higher law. It's called the law of the spirit of life. Can you shout amen? Amen. The law of the spirit of life dominates the law of sin and death. Go back to that Romans chapter 8 verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. The sin there is not sin as is not referring to the actions of sin. It's talking of the nature of sin. Am I communicating? The sin nature that was passed on from the first Adam, the fallen man. Am I communicating? The first Adam, that sin nature was passed on to the whole human race. And with that sin nature came spiritual death. With that sin nature came all the consequences of spiritual death. Let's mention the consequences of spiritual death. Number one, sickness, diseases, poverty, failure. Even physical death. Name all the negativities, because there was no sickness in the garden until Adam fell. There was no poverty there. Adam did not die physically. Are you listening? So it was that law of sin and death that activated this cascade of what? Sickness, poverty, failure, death, defeat, disease. Name them. All the things that are contrary to God's will, that humanity is suffering today, is as a result of the activation of the law of sin and death. But the only way to swallow it up, the only way to walk in dominion over it, thank God Jesus came. Jesus came and introduced a higher law. It's called the law of sin and death. And when you function with this, Jesus came and activated a higher superior law called the law of what? Help me. The spirit of life. It's only those that are born again that can function with the law of spirit and life. the law of the spirit of life. If you are not a child of God, I'm going to give you opportunity to give your life to Christ in the course of this meeting, so that you can function with this superior law, so that you will not be a victim of the law of sin and death. Because only children of God that have the life of God in them, that have the spirit of God in them, can function with the law of the spirit of life. Am I communicating? The day you got born again, you received the life of God. You were infused with Zoe, that divine life that is superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. The life of God in you is the incorruptible life. Am I communicating? It's not subject to decay. It's not subject to death. It's not subject to disease. It's not subject to sickness. Am I communicating? It cannot be defeated. It's an inconquerable life. It's an indomitable life. Indomitable life. Indomitable life. Zoe. The life of the highest quality. Divine essence. When you got born again, it was not a religion you received. You received this very life of God. What makes God, God? Divine essence. Am I communicating? Maliko Borakataya, Empress Kontekila Balatia. And Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of he that raised Jesus from the dead shall dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall what? Quicken or give life to your... Can you give me this in Amplified? We give life. It's a life-giving spirit. The Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. He's a life-giver. I don't know what is dead in your life, but the Holy Ghost is quickening them back to life. Maybe you are suffering from maybe one of your body organ, your heart failure, kidney failure, whatever, lung failure, any part of your body that has failed, any part of your body that is dead, the Spirit of God is giving it life. By the operation of the Spirit of life, everything dead is coming back to life. It's coming back to life. It's coming back to life. Shalaboko sekete. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, are you aware it was this same spirit of life? It's the oppression of the spirit of life that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the spirit of resurrection. I say he is the spirit of resurrection. He was the one that raised Jesus from the dead. He can raise your dead business back to life. Aya. I don't know what has died in your life, whether it's in your body or in your business or in your finances. This spirit of life is releasing resurrection power. Your dead business is coming back to life. Your dead finances is coming back to life. In the name of Jesus, whatever is dead, the spirit of life will bring it back to life. Is that spirit that raised Lazarus? Hey, you remember the story of Lazarus? Pastor Nenku was talking about dead Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days. Maggots were coming out. All the putrefaction, all those processes, and all of that, the decomposition and all of that have set in. But when the spirit of life came in, when Jesus spoke, he said, Lazarus, comfort. And the law of the spirit of life was activated by those words that Jesus spoke. Because he said, the words I speak, they are not ordinary. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Those words released the oppression of the spirit of life and brought dead Lazarus back to life. Every dead cell came back to life. Every dead tissue came back to life. Every dead organ, dead system. And Lazarus, that was dead for 4 days, came back to life, bound hand and foot, and he looked at him. He said, loose him and let him go. The law of the spirit of life. With God, there are no hopeless cases. I said, there are no hopeless cases. Your case is not hopeless. I don't care the doctor's diagnosis. It makes no difference. There is hope for you. The spirit of life is quickening you back to life. Quickening your body, quickening your health, quickening your brain. Manda balakataya. Sheleboko seketena. There are no hopeless cases with God. Not when the spirit of life is still operating. Malika barakataya. Elefrido seketena. Malakuda kaba. God told that prophet in the valley of dry bones, prophet Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? Ayagabalakatai. He said, only you, God, knows. He said, prophesy to those dry bones. I don't know the dry bones in your life, but the spirit of life, by the power of prophecy, the spirit of life is causing everything dead, everything dry, to come back to life. Every dry situation is receiving life. Every dead situation is receiving life. He said, prophesy to the bones. He said, as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking, and the bone came together. Things are coming together. Ayagabalakatai. Connections, relationships, those that left you before, Elabata, destiny helpers, they are coming together. Your things are working. Whatever was not working in your life, in your body, in your finances, in your business, your career, I prophesy by the oppression of the spirit of life, they begin to work perfectly. Everything that was not working is now working. They have power to walk in the name of Jesus. Konda Baladia. We serve a God that quickened the dead. Romans 4:17. We serve a God that gives life to the dead. By the power of this life-giving spirit, he gives life to the dead and calleth things that be not as though they were. It was that spirit of life that quickened the body of dead Abraham. Aya, palakata. Is that same spirit of life that made, aya, that made, can you remember the story of Sarah? The Bible says Sarah was menopause times two, over 90 something. Is that same spirit of life that quickened her womb, that quickened those gonadotrophins, that quickened all those hormones that control fertility? Because at that point, all those hormones, their level will have been so reduced, or our womb will have become atrophic, but the spirit of life caused everything to come alive, and she conceived Isaac at a scientifically impossible age. Abraham was over 100, Sarah was 90 something, and they conceive a baby. The impossible became possible. There are no impossibilities with God. I said there are no impossible cases with God. There are no irreversible cases with God. There are no irredeemable cases. See, the truth is that there are no hopeless cases. It's people that become hopeless about those cases. In their mind and in their heart, is people that become hopeless. There are no hopeless cases with God. Malakobakasila balatia. Elefrido kotoskida. I'm seeing somebody now that lost money. I don't know whether you did investment or business, you lost the money, but God said it shall be restored. I'm seeing an anointing for supernatural restoration. No case is a close case. No case is a close. I've lost money before in investment, but I recovered everything after like almost 3 years. There are no hopeless cases. Refuse to be hopeless about your situation. So toka baya. There are no incurable diseases with God. With men, some things are impossible. Thank God for medical science, but they have their limitation. The fact that doctor tell you there is no cure does not mean God said there is no cure. It was doctor that said no cure. It's not God. The God that made your body did not say there is no cure. Are you getting me? He said if the spirit of he that raised Christ from the dead shall dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken, shall vitalize, shall give life to your mortal body. Maliko Bakatai. He said Jesus himself, he bore our sins, he bore our sickness, he paid the price. By his stripes ye were healed. Munda Balakidas. Refuse to become hopeless. Refuse to become despondent. Let me tell you one weakness with human beings is that anytime human beings have tried to change a situation, they've tried their best and no solution. In their mind, they just grow weary and they give up. So that even if it's Jesus that is standing before them, remember how Jesus ministered to that man by the pool of Bethesda that has been there for 38 long years? Jesus said, "Will thou be made whole?" The man was talking long story. See, let me tell you something about especially sick people. I've worked as a doctor before, so I've seen so many cases, including chronic condition. Now, when somebody has suffered some illnesses for a long time, there is this kind of unbelief that unconsciously enters them, so that they are no longer even. It's part of them, we want healing, but inside them, they don't truly believe their situation can change. Why? Because of experiences. They'll say, this one has prayed for me, nothing happened. That one prayed for me, nothing happened. That pastor prayed for me, nothing happened. I even went to this person's church, I went to that one, I went for this conference, I went for that miracle service. We leave everything to God. Anytime God won't heal me, make him heal me. If it's not his will to heal me too, I accept it in good faith. See, let me tell you the truth. All those experiences, if they are not correctly dealt with, if it's not erased from their mind, it deeply ingrains in them an unconscious kind of unbelief. So that even if Jesus appears and wants to heal them, that unbelief can stop him. Are you listening? So don't allow past negative experiences to influence your faith. Let me tell you, neighbor, don't allow past negative experiences to impute doubt into your heart. Delete those memories. Please do me a favor. Delete those memories. I said delete those memories. Begin to think possibilities. The Bible said all things are possible. All things. It doesn't matter how long your condition has been. It doesn't matter who has prayed for you before and it didn't work. It doesn't even matter the caliber of the person that have prayed for you. You know, sometimes when people come and meet me for prayer, by the time they give me long CV of the places they have been to and the people that they have prayed for, sometimes I will now be wondering. He said, this man of God prayed for me, nothing happened. That other one prayed for me, nothing happened. I've been to this place, nothing happened. I've been to this, if I saw them even mention some of the fathers of the faith. In my mind, I will now be asking. I say, what exactly does this person now? Why did you come here? It's true now. Because the way they are talking, you can even see that all those experiences has programmed unbelief into them. So that they are just coming to say, let me just try to see whether he can do something. And they will get that result of try. Are you getting me? Your situation doesn't change like that. You have to be intentional. Like the woman with the issue of blood. If I may but touch, she has suffered that condition for how long? Help me, for how many years? 12 solid years, but she did not allow. The Bible says she has been to several hospitals. The best doctors have, they have managed that, but no improvement. Rather, her condition grew worse. She has spent money such that she has now become broke. From all the money that she has spent all her living on the physician, but yet the woman did not allow all those long negative experience of no result in the area of her healing. She didn't allow it to influence her faith. She didn't allow it to put doubt into her heart. When she heard Jesus was passing by, and she heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with her. When she heard that, the Bible said, she came and pressed, for she had said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. When you are in faith, you are sure. Faith is a certainty. Faith is not probability, it's a certainty. She came with faith in her heart. She touched, and there was transmission. The law of contact and transmission. Why? Because she activated the anointing by operating the law of faith. And power surged into her. And the fountain of her blood immediately ceased. It stanched. She felt in herself that she was healed. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Konda balakida saprakatai. Doesn't matter how many times you have tried and failed. Delete all those memories. I say delete those memories. Let your faith come alive. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Palakondo frekila kapatia. Some of you say, I've prayed, I fasted 40 days and night, nothing still happened. Delete the memory. Kalido so freketena. Malika barakatai. Delete old memories of failures. Delete old memories that will limit you. All those self-limiting thoughts, those self-sabotaging thoughts, do away with them and believe God for a change of story. Can you shout amen? Can we read Mark 9:23 together? 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That last part again. All things are what? To him that what? How many things? Does that include your sickness? Does that include your healing? Does that include your financial breakthrough? Does that include your marriage? Does that include your family? Does that include your academic? All things. I say all things. I say all things. Shapaka soborakida. Your change of story is at the instance of your faith. The law of the spirit of life. That law tames the law of sin and death. It dominates the law of sin and death. And the Holy Spirit is a life giver. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of life. He is that life giving spirit, that quickening spirit. He is the river of living waters. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I said the life of God comes from the spirit of God. The life of the world comes from the spirit of life. The word and the spirit are one. Isaiah 34 verse 16. The word and the spirit are one. They always agree. Keta balatia. It says, Isaiah 34 verse 16. Shabaladosa. It says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. In the Hebrew, that word read is agar. That's meditate. No one of these shall fail. No scripture. We fail. No ayagaba, no part of God's word can fail. He said, none shall want a mate. He said, for my mouth it had commanded, and his spirit it had gathered. Can you see the synergy between the word and the spirit? My mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it had what? God. So the spirit of God will gather to you whatever the mouth of the Lord command. They always go together. They always agree. I said the spirit of life gives you victory over sin, victory over sickness, victory over disease, poverty, failure, death, defeat. It gives you victory over hell and the grave. The spirit of life is the spirit of resurrection. Hallelujah. Is that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? He unleashes the power of resurrection. The spirit of life activates the life of God in us vitally. John 10 verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill and destroy. But I am come that they may have." I have come that they may have. That they may have. They might have life, that Zoe, and that they might have it more abundantly. Put it in Amplified. I like the way the Amplified puts it. The life of God, Zoe. He said, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it what? Overflows." 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. He said, "This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life." Aya, it's a record. This is the record. This is the testimony that God had given to us in past tense, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Oh, you see, the location of the life is in His Son. Next verse. Verse 12. He said, "He that had the Son had life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life." Aya, kebo rabalatia. Say with me, "I have the life of God in me." Shebalataya. And he said, "As the Son has life in himself, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself." So because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you yourself, you have become a quickening spirit to the dead. Am I communicating? Verse 13. He said, "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know, that ye may know, that you may become aware that you have," you are not going to have, "that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Can you see something? There is a second believing after you have come to know, after you've come to the awareness that you have. Am I communicating? Next verse. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know that we have the petition which we have desired of him." I said the spirit of life activates the life of God into operation in us vitally. There is a legal side of salvation or redemption. Then there is a vital aspect. The legal aspect talks about all that Jesus has accomplished for us through his substitutionary sacrifice. He took our place. Am I communicating? So he's talking about the doctrine of identification. We were identified with him in his suffering, in his death, his burial, his resurrection. All that he has accomplished for us, what we call the finished work of Christ. That's the legal aspect of redemption or salvation. Then there is the vital aspect. Now the vital aspect talks about what the Holy Spirit is doing in us now, using the Word of God to make us to vitally, as in to experience vitally what has been done legally. Am I communicating? It's called the doctrine of activation. It is a ministry through partnership with the Holy Spirit and in conjunction with God's word that we experience vitally what has been done legally. Am I communicating? For instance, legally, Jesus has already paid the price for our healing. 1 Peter 2:24, he said, "By his stripes ye were healed." Himself took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. Am I communicating? Isaiah 53, from 4 to 5, it talks about, it says, surely he has borne our grief, he has carried our sorrow. We did esteem him smitten of God, stricken. It says, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, this is talking of our the healing that Jesus has procured for us based on his finished work. So this is the legal aspect. Am I communicating? This is the legal aspect. Then Romans 8:11. It said, but if the spirit of he, now this one is the vital aspect. Now a believer that Jesus has already paid for his healing legally, let's say the believer is sick. Now, this is where the vital aspect will now come into play. And listen, the legal aspect of our redemption is the basis for the vital. Did you hear what I said? The reason why you can demand for your healing, demand for your miracle, is because Jesus has already paid for it. If Jesus has not paid for it legally, you have no right to demand it vitally. Am I communicating? Now, let's say this believer that Jesus has paid for his healing is having symptoms in his body, or he's sick, or he's dying of cancer. Now, this scripture talks of the vital aspect in operation. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he said, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So, the Holy Spirit, through the operation of the Spirit of life, am I communicating? Being activated, the Holy Spirit will give life to that sick body. Am I communicating? He will give life on the basis of what Jesus has done. The law of the Spirit of life will be activated into operation so that all those cancer cells will die and the person gets healed. Am I communicating? When the anointing comes upon the sick, is to make the person to receive that healing vitally that Jesus has paid for legally. So even the power of God, the anointing of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Ghost, all of that, they come in order to activate into manifestation and make the person to vitally experience what has been paid for legally. That's why I said the legal aspect is the basis for the vital aspect. Jesus has paid the price so that you will not be poor. Jesus has paid the price so that he said, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. It said, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus, though he was rich for your sake, he became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich. Legally, he has paid the price for you to walk in wealth and prosperity. He has paid the price so that you will not live a life of poverty. The blood of Jesus, one of the things the blood of Jesus paid for is for you to be delivered from poverty. Now, vitally, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Philippians 4:19 is talking of the vital aspect. The supply of the Spirit is what meets your need. Am I communicating? He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He said, let every man give according as he proposes in his heart. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will always be having and be self-sufficient in his sufficiency. Hallelujah. That's talking of the vital aspect of your prosperity. And how do you activate that? You see, one of the law is the law of seed time and harvest, the law of giving and receiving. He says it will now help you to activate vitally what Jesus has already paid for legally. Are you getting what I'm teaching? Mandobo kosapata lebranda kapalatia elefrete. I round up with this. He said, how do you activate the law of the Spirit of life? How do you activate the law of the Spirit of life into operation in your life? Number one, you true partnership with the Holy Spirit. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4. When you learn to commune, fellowship with the Holy Ghost, you learn to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. You spend time with the Holy Ghost. You spend time in fellowship. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in worship. You spend time meditating on God's word. Am I communicating? You partner with the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. Labakosovrakilatia. I said the number one key to activate the operation of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, is by learning to what? Partner with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. He is the quickening Spirit of God. He said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the koinonia. The Greek word communion there is koinonia. One of the meaning is partnership. One of the meaning is fellowship. One of the meaning is intimacy. The sharing together. The distribution. The transportation. The friendship of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Give me an amplified. Kundabala kataya. When you partner with the Spirit of life, you activate the law of the Spirit of life. When you partner with the Holy Spirit, there is a flow of life. Even your words are full of life. Am I communicating? The presence of God. You become a carrier of His manifest presence. He said the grace, favor, spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together. Can you see that? And participation in the Holy Ghost. Participation, partnership in the Spirit. That's the number one key. So how do you partner with God? Number one, you partner with the Holy Spirit through prayers. Number two, you partner with the Holy Spirit by what? Studying and meditating and practicing God's word through the ministry of the word. Okay? You spend time meditating on the word, and then you are a doer of the word. These are the ways you partner with the Holy Ghost. You spend time with Him in prayers, and then you meditate and practice the word of God. Then the third way you partner with the Holy Ghost is by spending time praising and worshiping Him. Time spent worshiping God is not wasted time. Okay, it's communion. It's part of communion with the Holy Ghost. You become a worshiper. Am I communicating? The presence of God is provoked. The presence of God is manifested as we learn to partner with the Holy Spirit in prayers, in the word, and in worship. And then you also partner with the Holy Spirit by learning to obey His voice. Obedience to His voice and His instruction. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. You hear and you heed His direction. You hear and you heed His instructions. Am I communicating? There are several times the Holy Spirit have told me to empty my account. I don't think twice. The moment instruction comes from God, I don't rationalize it. Delayed obedience will lead to disobedience. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Anything He tells you to do, do it. No matter how foolish it looks in the natural. Am I communicating? Shataka barakataya. Obedience to the instructions of the Holy Ghost provokes mighty miraculous manifestation. Miracles are not magic. They are provoked when you obey divine instruction. Jesus said, fill the water pot with water. They didn't stand there arguing with Him that it is wine we want. You are telling us to go and fetch water that they used to wash leg and wash dish. Is it water to wash leg? Are we doing ablution? They didn't stand there arguing. You know, they obeyed foolishly. And then when they filled the water pot with water, He said, oh yeah, draw from the water and go and give the MC. They were not afraid of embarrassment. They obeyed foolishly. 10 lepers met Jesus at the lepers' village. Jesus looked at it. They stood from afar. They were even afraid to come and mix up with normal people, because according to the law of Moses, they are not allowed. They are like social outcasts because of the stigma. They are not allowed to mix with others. They stood from afar. They were in the lepers' village. He said, "Jesus, have mercy upon us." Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Look at the instruction. Go and show yourself to the priest. That's very dangerous. According to the law, you only go and show yourself to the priest to confirm your healing. It was the priest that usually confirmed that they are cleansed from leprosy. So you only go there after you are healed. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says they obeyed. And as they went, they were cleansed. Your miracle will materialize on the road of obedience. As they went, they were cleansed. Am I coming? What have God told you to do? Whatever He tells you to do, do it. His instruction may not make sense, but they make spirit. His instruction may not make sense, may look foolish by human wisdom, but they always work. They produce mighty, miraculous results. So you partner with the Holy Spirit through prayer. Spend time in prayer. Very soon we are going to pray. And when it is time to pray, pray. When it's time to pray, pray. Am I communicating? Great things happen when we pray. Malaga Bakasaya. Same breske tola kidas. You partner with the Holy Spirit by meditating and doing His word. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be produced for you. John 15 verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. How does the word of God abide in you? It's through meditation. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. In all wisdom. Am I communicating? Meditation can be likened to eating the word, digesting the word, assimilating the word, and the word becoming part of you. And meditation will spur you to action. It will move you to do the word. And meditation will build your faith. It will build your faith strong. And fortify your spirit, and then you do the word. The energy to do the word comes from meditation. Even the desire to do the word comes from meditation. Both the desire and the energy, the ability to do God's word, flow when you learn to meditate on the word. Am I communicating? Malabora safrakatanas. Elefrendo kojalabatia. And then I say the third way you partner with the Holy Spirit is by spending time worshiping God, praising God. Some of you during worship, you are just looking as if your mind is thinking of jollof rice. Your mind is thinking of something else. Some of you, your mind is in Terminus Market. No. You arrest your mind. When you are in the presence of God, it's time to worship. Worship. All those distracting thoughts, deal with them ruthlessly. Gather yourself back. Am I communicating? The mind is like a battlefield. You know, many people, they easily lose concentration. And listen, you can't receive from God without attention. There are laws that govern the flow of the anointing. One of them is that you must give God your attention. You must give. Even faith requires focus to work. Your mind cannot be wandering here, there, there. You know, Terminus, this one, you are at home, you are boiling rice, you are doing this one, and physically you are here. It doesn't work like that. I say it doesn't work like that. If you are here, be fully here. Tell your neighbor, if you are here, be fully here. In your mind, be here. In your heart, be here. In your thought, be here. Deal ruthlessly with distracting thought. Sometimes 1 minute before God touches you, Satan will distract you. He will just bring one thought to your mind. Say, you remember, you know, closed door. Then you say, nah, true. Then you now get up and say you are going to close the door. And the devil, demons are clapping. Say, thank God. The person don't leave. The person left before their case was mentioned, before God showed up for them. So the angels that brought their miracle and breakthrough is looking for them. Say, where are they? Ah,
3 minutes ago, the person just left. Because the person remembered that, the clothes I wash, the day outside, and rain go fall. You know, see rain fall yesterday. See, the Bible says, least Satan should gain advantage over us. We are not ignorant of his devices. I'm telling you some of the ways Satan steals people. He steals their miracle. Let me rather put it this way. Some of the way he hinders and prevents them from receiving what God has for them. He uses distraction. Some of you, it's your phone that will ring. It's your phone. 5 minutes before your miracle comes. 5 minutes before the angels that was sent from heaven to bring your breakthrough. 5 minutes before, you will just receive one phone call. Or you see a text message. Where are you there? You don't know what they happen for us. Come immediately, leave wherever you are. An emergency will just come up. Then you now see the person carry their Bible. They will look right, look left. Usher, I know they look me back. They have disappeared. And then the demons are clapping. Say, thank God she left. So our case will continue. Our problems will continue. Are you getting me? That's why most of the time when I come before God, I throw away my forget phone. Even if the wall is on fire, let it wait. Let me ask you a question. No matter the emergency you are rushing home to handle, who will help you handle it? God. Whose presence are you in? What God cannot handle? Is it you running there? Is it what will solve the problem? In fact, the ability to deal with the problem, is it not God that will give you? Is that not why we are here? So everything can wait. Tell your neighbor, everything can wait. Can you be in a meeting with US president and then you say emergency came and you check your phone and you say, excuse me, President Biden, I have an emergency I have to go attend to. See you later. How many human beings will do that? But do you know people do it before God? Is it because God is not knocking people's head? You know, people disrespect God's presence. Oh, some people will even be praying. And then WhatsApp notification came. Say, not true. And they say they are praying. Are you aware there is a person with you there? Are you aware? Are you not supposed to give God the honor and the reverence that is due to him? It's because you don't yet know him. So he will forgive your days of ignorance. What you will not do. When I was in Ola Hospital, one time I was privileged to attend to a bishop of the Catholic Church. He was sick, so he came and met me. So I was surprised that the bishop of the Catholic Church, one of the dioceses, to enter my consulting room, his phone rang when we were talking. He felt embarrassed that his phone rang. He offed the phone. He said, doctor, I'm very sorry. He said, usually I don't even carry phone. When I'm discussing important things, he offed the phone, kept it aside. I said, no, sir, go ahead and answer your phone. He said, no. He said, when he's going to see governor, he said, they don't even allow them going with phone. They keep it to avoid any form of distraction. But people come to church. Some will even be watching movie on Netflix. Pastor is preaching. Some are Facebooking. They are TikToking. Message is going on. They are in another world. They are inside YouTube watching Prophet Suddenly Part 2. Am I communicating? You see the problem? Distraction. Distraction will rob you of your miracle. You need to concentrate. Peter said, look on us. Look on us. Look on us. Look on us. He wanted his attention. He wanted him to give him his undivided attention. Because you don't receive from God without focus and attention. Forget your problem. Forget the sickness. Forget the oppression. Forget whatever pain. Forget everything. Every burden, every problem you came here with,
put it aside. Just focus on Jesus. Look up to Jesus. Look up to his word. Look up to him for help. Look up to him for his mercy. Am I communicating? When it's time to pray, I'm telling you, because sometimes somebody in their mind they are doing something else. Their mind, there is a disconnection between their lips and their heart, and those kind of prayer, they don't hold water, they don't carry power, they don't even reach heaven. Am I communicating? The earnest heartfelt from your heart. So help me. What are the ways you partner with God? Number one, you partner with the Holy Spirit. Number one, through what? Number two, number one, prayers, meditation, and doing the word. Okay? Not just meditate. You meditate and do it. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandment. Number three, worship, praise. Number four, obedience to his instruction. So I said, you activate the operation of the Spirit of Life by partnering with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Life, through all those four methods I mentioned. Number two, the power of faith. I've said something here and there concerning that. You activate the operation of the Spirit of Life through the power of faith. Now listen, faith is a spiritual law that activate almost every other law, spiritual law in the kingdom. The other laws in the kingdom of God, they are all activated by the law of faith, including this law of the Spirit of Life. Am I communicating? It is unto you according to your faith. Your miracle is unto you according to your faith. Your testimony is unto you according to your faith. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The Bible talked about, okay, give me Hebrews 11:32. Some of the faith heroes, Hebrews 11:32. Is it time we fail me to tell of Barak, of Gideon, of Jephthah? He said, what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophet. Verse 33. He said, who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. 34. He said, quench the violence of fire. Higher. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the alien. 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. How? Through faith. And I said, it is the operation of the law of the Spirit of Life that brings about the release of the power of resurrection, because the Spirit of Life is the Spirit of resurrection. He unleashes the power of resurrection. And how did this woman activate the law of the Spirit of Life to raise their dead children back to life? How? Through faith. By partnering with God in faith. The partnership of faith. So faith, we activate the law of the Spirit of Life that will now release the power of resurrection, that will cause everything that is dead in and around your life to come back to life. Womb receive their dead back to life. You know, in the natural, once somebody has died, to human beings it is over. Death to human beings is like is like the end. So before somebody died, they try everything, but once the person is dead, everybody gives up. To human beings, death is the end, but not in the kingdom, not with God. With God, it is not an end, it is a bend. It is not an end, it is reversible. Dead Lazarus, did he come back to life? Tabitha, dead Tabitha, did she come back to life? The widow's son that was carried in that coffin by undertakers that encountered Jesus, did that dead widow's son in name come back to life? To God and in his kingdom, death is reversible. What reverses death? The law of the spirit of life. If the spirit of he that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in that dead body, he will bring that dead body back to life. And how do you activate that law? Number two, partnership of faith. Number one, I say partner with the Holy Spirit. Number two, partnership of faith. Partnership of faith. The power of faith. That your dead business can come back to life. Your academics. That your CGPA that is looking as if it is dead, it can rise again. Dry bones can rise again. That organ that doctors say your kidneys, your liver, your heart is not working, it can come back to life again. The spirit of life can cause it to come back to life. When you learn to partner with God in faith. Malikobo Sabalatai. The last key, the power of prophecy. Ezekiel 37. We'll soon pray now. The power of what? Prophecy. Somebody say the power of prophecy. Prophetic power. I'm showing you how to activate the law of the spirit of life into operation. The number one key I gave you is partnership with the Holy Spirit. Number two is a partnership of faith. That's the power of faith. Number three now, the power of what? Prophecy. Ezekiel 37:1. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Next verse. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were what? Very dry. Next verse. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Next verse. And he said unto me, prophesy upon this bone. Malakose vride sila bakidas. Lefreketo. No wonder when the spirit of God comes upon people, they start prophesying. Malakos ketia. He said, prophesy upon this bone. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Next verse. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into them, and ye shall live. So as you prophesy, breath can enter into whatever is dead. That's the spirit of life we breathe upon the dead and cause it to come back to life. And whatever was not working, we start working. Hallelujah. Next verse. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover. You see, the prophetic word can create sinews, it can create flesh, tendons, muscles, superficial fascia, deep fascia, all of that, ligaments, name them, blood vessels, artery veins. The prophetic word does not just reveal, it has creative power. It will create skin and everything that is lacking on that bone. It says, I will put bread in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Next verse. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. Malabokoshata. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, the shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Next verse. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain that they may live. Verse 10. He says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. From an army of very many and very dry bone, it became an army of living, breathing human beings. through the power of prophecy. Prophecy clothed those dead bones with skin. Prophecy caused the breath of life to enter into them. Prophecy, am I communicating? And what does it mean to prophesy? To prophesy simply means to speak forth God's word under the anointing, under a divine influence. You are speaking words that are pregnant with divine omnipotence, words of power. You are speaking anointed words, words that are loaded with the power of the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. Am I communicating? The power of prophecy. Shelekoskata. You learn to prophesy over your family every day. As much as I can remember, almost every time our children are going to school, baby love and bobo, I usually lay hands on them. I'll start prophesying, speaking words over them, because I understand the power of the prophetic word. Malika Bakasa. You learn to prophesy over your family. You learn to prophesy. Malakus Ketila. Maybe your husband is misbehaving or your wife is misbehaving. Wait in the middle of the night when they are sleeping, 1-3 a.m. Come, pray in tongues a while, and then come and just lay hands on them small and start prophesying. Every spirit making this person to misbehave, out. From today, you start walking. Behaving well. This thing works. It works. Any child that is misbehaving, do the same thing. Wait. After all, they are gra-gra-gra. By the time they are sleeping and snoring, lay hands on them. Every spirit of waywardness, you must leave my baby. You must leave my child. You must leave this boy. And begin to prophesy the things you want to see. Am I communicating? Prophesy over that business. Don't just watch that business die. Don't just watch it. Customers are not coming. Start calling them forth. Prophesy to the four winds. Begin to decree this business. You are growing, you are multiplying. I prophesy supernatural increase, multiplication. The profits are increasing. Customers' patronage increasing. Am I communicating? This business is expanding. I release the Mimshak anointing. It is spreading. In fact, we are opening branches in America. We are opening in South Africa. Well, prophesy. Prophesy over your career. Prophesy over that your academics. Don't just be writing exam, writing. Prophesy over the paper before you submit. Did you hear what I just said? You don't know your examiner can come under a divine influence and give you mark more than what you deserve because they are under an influence. Ask yourself, if a witch write that exam and the witch make incantation on their paper, won't it affect the lecturer? You to do your own incantation. Speaking in tongues is incantation. You don't know? Spiritual incantation. So after writing the paper, don't just trust the answer you wrote. Lay hands on it under your voice. Am I communicating? We are spiritual people. We are not normal. I say we are not normal. That poultry, you say the poultry birds are dying. They are dying because you are not prophesying life into them. It doesn't matter whether it is goat business or piggery. They are rearing pigs. It doesn't matter anything. Prophesy over them. Lay hands on them. Let life enter them. John G. Lake, he lay hands on sick people, they got healed. There was one time he saw a horse. Okay, it was a horse that the leg got broken. And you know, once the leg of a horse or donkey is broken, it's almost as if it's useless. The owner wanted to shoot it and kill it. John G. Lake said, no, don't kill it. He said, let me pray. He lay hands on that donkey with fracture, broken leg. The thing was mended. Prophesy over everything, oh. Prophesy, speak words. These poultry birds, you will not die, you will live. No more dying. I speak life over you. Speak over that goat. Speak, I tell you, chicken, at least you will not die until Christmas time. Praise God. If you like, you can
Because they say the destiny of chicken is ended by Christmas most times. Praise God. Prophesy over everything. We are not normal. Jesus spoke to trees. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves. Jesus spoke to even dead people that were dead. Don't just watch things dying and failing around you. Rise to your feet, jump up, and begin to release prophetic words over them. Hallelujah. So you rise in your spirit. No, I don't mean sugar. I mean, no, Pastor Nenku was right. It's in the spirit. I mean, you rise up in the spirit. It's up physically because his spirit is rising. Am I communicating? Let your spirit rise up, oh, with red eyes. When things are not working, when you are confronted with dead situation, defeat, failure, rise up, become a talking spirit. Become a talking spirit. As you are talking, you are releasing quickening power. You are giving life to the dead. You are calling things that be not as though they were. Mandobola baka sapala katana. Rise to your feet now. Shapate kebo. Who is ready to pray? Who is ready to prophesy? Manda bala kuske pelete. Now I want you to do me a favor. Just set your gaze upon any area you desire a miracle. Any area you want God to move in your favor. Any area of your life that you want a miracle, you desire a positive change of story, a change of your situation, a change of your status. I want you to fixate your heart and mind on it and begin to pray and begin to prophesy the desire changes. Begin to pray and prophesy to release the spirit of life. Everything dead is coming back to life. Whatever was not working begins to work. This is a very important moment. You can't afford to be silent. You can't afford to be quiet. Because we are releasing power. Kando bola barakatai. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom we believe, even God, who quickened the dead. As we prophesy, the power to quicken the dead, the power to quicken dead situations, dead finances, dead businesses, dead career, dead academic, dead relationship, dead families, dead marriages, that power is released. Kala baba 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 baba. Nothing dies in your life. Nothing dies around you. No more failure. No more defeat. Liberakataya. Embrekete. Dead organs are coming back to life. The spirit of life is breathing upon you. Labonde kepirakatai. Embrekete. You learn to activate the operation of the spirit of life by learning to partner with the Holy Ghost. By learning Ashila Bakatai to partner with God in faith. By learning to prophesy over every dead situation, over every condition that desire a positive change. You concentrate the influence of the power of the Spirit. Manda balakuske tila batai. Ele frido semelende. Eka balasubalatai.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sadon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070 0736-991158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.